What we do know is if we take a moment and look at your existing data, your existing use cases, and how you want to grow them, we can help you choose the appropriate CDP for your particular business scenario. Because they're so different and they all do different things, but they all carry that moniker of CDP, it can be very confusing, and it's very easy to let the product drive what the business thinks it should need, when really we should be focusing on what the business needs and then finding the tool that fits that purpose.
Hello, and welcome to the Funnel Podcast, a digital experience podcast by Blue Acorn ICI. Each month, we'll uncover new strategies and topics related to e-commerce. And I'm your host, Sarah G. I'm the Senior Content Marketing Manager here at Blue Acorn ICI. This week, we'll be learning more about hyper-personalization with our guest, Adam DiTommaso. With advancements in technology, the average consumer expects a personalized experience when interacting with a brand. And when brands deliver and meet the expectations of its customers, it pays off. So much so that it has been reported 80% of consumers are more likely to make a purchase when they receive a personalized experience. But how can brands get started? It can be a daunting task on the road to hyper-personalization. Today, we'll uncover how businesses can start their hyper-personalization journey. Our guest, Adam DiTommaso, joins the Funnel to explain more about it, how to get started, and how Blue Acorn ICI can help. Adam has over 20 years of experience in MarTech deployment, covering a variety of solutions that have all focused on the customer journey. For the last 8 years, Adam has focused on customer data platform, or CDP, solutions and customer engagement to help provide a data foundation in which clients can market to their customers. We have so much to discuss today, so let's begin. Thanks so much for joining us on the Funnel today, Adam.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to be here.
Yeah, and we have a lot to talk about when it comes to personalizing customer experiences. I know I have a lot of questions. So just to start, what is hyper-personalization?
Now, that's a great question, Sarah, because hyper-personalization can be something different for every client we talk to. But basically, it's the idea of using data, using all sorts of data to power a very personalized experience for an individual across a company's suite of solutions. And when I say suite of solutions, companies use a lot of different voices when they talk to their customers, from email to apps to websites to call centers to brick and mortar retail. They walk into a store. I mean, there's so many scenarios, but hyper-personalization is the idea of improving an individual's experience with the brand.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point too. Even just walking in the store, a lot of the times my mind, because I work more in email marketing and things like that, I think email, but there's so much more that it touches.
Absolutely. The customer journey and understanding the customer journey is really a big part of it and a big key to it.
Say a business is starting from scratch. They really don't have a lot of personalization and they want to start it going. What are some of the first things that they should focus on?
Well, they should start by focusing on what they have. What are the available channels? What are the mechanisms that they're using? And how can they improve that? For example, email communication. If you're just simply putting like, hello, Adam DiTommaso, well, that's not very personalized. What if you try an experiment where if you just said, hi, Adam, or if it's more of a B2B scenario, hello, Mr. DiTommaso. There's a lot of variations or strategy that you can apply in a hyper-personalization scenario that can produce a better outcome. And it's not always about, did I get the technology deployed correctly? Because yes, certainly that's part of it. We have to make sure it's functioning without errors, but it's what you do with it that delivers the message that is kind of the point.
Mm-hmm. Is there too much personalization that gets creepy for the customer? Because I see, you know, as I'm looking at ads and things and bouncing around online, I don't personally feel like it's too much, but I don't know your opinion. If there's too much personalization, is that a bad thing?
It depends on who you're talking to. Oh. And I'll give you two examples of that. If you're talking to Bank of America or a major bank like that, that happened to be the one I use, or Fidelity, or you can name any one of them, any bank. You want that. You want that. At every channel, I want them to say, hi, Adam. Because I want them to force me to log in. I want them to know everything about me because my financial currency, you know, my financial stability is resting in their hands to a degree. So in that case, in that idea, no, I don't think it's too creepy. And I think the more security, the more personalization, and the more effort we put into hyper-personalization can benefit any financial institution, insurance company, or any situation like that. Now, on the other side of that coin, There is retail, and sometimes there's the creep factor in the sense that, well, I did browse this, I did browse that, I didn't log in here. Are they a partner of this company? Is there second? But there's a lot of questions. Yes, that could potentially be a little creepy, but I think where the fine line is understanding what customers you can do hyper-personalization on. Like customers that spend $2,000 a month with you probably want you to recognize that you know them pretty well.
Yeah, for sure. And even just when I build campaigns, I'm looking at all of the data that we have and going, okay, let's throw this personalized experience in and test it and see how customers respond to it. Okay, they like that this was personalized. Maybe we try one more. It doesn't have to be all at once either.
Right. You can do these things incrementally and in a staged approach to get the most value for the business.
For sure. I was looking and I found that only 45% of marketers have access to a CDP. Could you explain more about what a customer data profile is? Because as a marketer myself, I haven't personally worked with one.
This is a great question. I love this question. I'm so happy you answered it. The customer profile. What is that? And there's a lot of solutions out there, CDP, that do that. But basically, if you take all the technology away, it's the ability to look at your customer as an individual. Right now, as a business, typically you look at, as a marketer, you may do this too. You look at what's happening in email. Okay, that's good to know. Well, what's happening on the web? Well, that's great to know. Well, what's happening in the store? Well, that's awesome to know. And I just gone to three different places to learn three different things that I have to correlate in my head. And everybody else is going to do the same thing, and everybody else is going to have a different correlation than you. What a CDP does, what a customer data platform does, is it changes your perspective on the customer, meaning as opposed to what's going on in the web, what's going on in the store, what's going on in email, it's what's going on in my customer base. How are all these customers who spend $2,000 a month doing? What channels are most popular to them? How are they interacting? And now I'm not asking questions of channels. I'm asking questions of the business, and I'm asking questions of my unified customer base, because now I'm looking at the customers and seeing what channels they interact with, as opposed to looking at the channel trying to figure out how my customers are interacting. Does that make sense?
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. It's a lot less of a guessing game too. Like
Right.
you're really putting the pieces together if you don't have that, versus now it's all right in front of you and you can kind of make a conclusion in a faster way.
Right. It changes your perspective on data because you're not looking at silos. You're looking at one data set that shows you how your customers are doing and what your customers are doing. And how it does that is through the creation of individual profiles. So that's taking your data in email, your data in the web, your data in the branch or the store, combining it into looking at you as an individual, Sarah, and then all of your attributes and all of your channel interaction under one view. That's what a customer data platform does. From a business perspective, it offers tremendous value because, again, it's all about how you're looking at the data.
And I know from just talking to other people, they want a CDP, but their data is not clean yet. So you mentioned working with the data that you have first. Is there like a level that like there's clear steps to then getting one?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the interesting things that I see out there is, if you look at the CDP space, there are many different types of CDP. Like if you look at email, there are email ESPs, and they all fundamentally do the same thing where they allow businesses to send emails to clients. When you look at CDPs, they all don't do fundamentally the same thing. And that's the difference, because you've got platforms like Amperity, which is more of an analytic solution. You've got solutions like Tealium, which is kind of based in tag management. You've got solutions like Adobe, which is based in first-party data management. And these are all coming at the term CDP from very different angles. Who's to say who's right? Because depending on the scenario, Tealium may be a better choice than Adobe or Redpoint Global, because you have advanced data management requirements, may be the best choice above them all. Nobody knows. What we do know is if we take a moment and look at your existing data, your existing use cases and how you want to grow them, we can help you choose the appropriate CDP for your particular business scenario. Because they're so different and they all do different things, but they all carry that moniker of CDP, It can be very confusing, and it's very easy to let the product drive what the business thinks it should need, when really we should be focusing on what the business needs and then finding the tool that fits that purpose.
Very good point. Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, how Blue Acorn ICI helps. Could you elaborate on that a little bit more, on helping with their personalization journey?
Absolutely. How we help really is by understanding. When I come into a client's brand, I want to know, okay, what's the high level problem? What is the business trying to get to? How is the organization responding to that, in the sense that this is how we're getting that answer you want? We look at that, we look at the use cases, we look at the data that powers those use cases. And all of this is, I like to say, on old-fashioned pen and paper, right? We're not pushing any buttons, because we need to figure out the use cases, we need to figure out what data supports the use cases, and then we need to take an inventory of what data is available, because that's going to tell us what's missing to complete our business goal. And once we understand what's missing, we can then determine what's going to fill that gap, whether it be a tool that does a certain function, whether it's a CDP that organizes data in a certain way, or whether it's something as simple as just test and target producing the appropriate tests. But that's where we talk about, I mean, in general, just to kind of tie this back to hyper-personalization, this is all part of it. So you could have a hyper-personalization effort where it's only focused on email. You could have one that's focused on email and web, but now requires a CDP so we can get a better profile of that customer for site optimization. All depends on your use case.
Yeah, it really depends on the business needs. That makes a lot more sense. And you've talked a lot about CDPs and hyper-personalization. Is there anything you want to touch on for people who are still confused or not knowing what to do next?
Yes. Figure out what your business needs done first. And I don't mean to pick on the vendors, but don't rely on vendors to tell you what you need. Rely on what the business needs, and rely on what your discovery says you need, and then look at the tool that will best facilitate that particular need. What that will avoid is you going down the wrong path and potentially choosing a product that it's absolutely fine, does what it's supposed to do, but that's not what you need it to do. You need to do something different. There's cases where I've seen clients who should have purchased, for example, an ETL solution as opposed to a CDP, because their needs were nested in data management, not in marketing. But they went the wrong direction. So that's why I say, always let the use case drive what you need, and make sure that you're always tying it back to that.
That's really good advice. Thank you so much, Adam, for joining us today. I learned a lot more about hyper-personalization than I knew going in, and really appreciate you being on today.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I enjoyed it. And it was a great conversation.
If you've enjoyed this episode of The Funnel, share it with your friends. It helps the podcast continue to grow. To learn more about Adam DiTommaso and Blue Acorn ICI, visit the links in our show notes for more information. And of course, if you're listening on iTunes or Spotify, be sure to follow the podcast and give it a 5-star rating and review. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.